Support by Denali National Park. Enjoy the views along the way and keep your eyes open for moose, bears, caribou, and 130 different bird species in the park's natural wilderness area. Exploring your home state is the COVID-safe way to enjoy the summer.
Welcome to Native America Calling. From Albuquerque, I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Clinkett and Athabascan designer Rico Worrell loves digital art. He's currently teaching himself 3D sculpting and is co-owner of the Trickster Company, a design company pumping out clothing and accessories printed with Pacific Northwest design. He also designed the new U.S. Postal Service Story of the Raven stamp that just came out. We'll talk with Rico, our August Native in the Spotlight, right after the news.
This is National Native News. I'm Tripp Krause in for Antonia Gonzalez. As the Olympic Games in Japan wrap up, we take a look at an indigenous Olympic event, this one in Alaska, where competitors share skills and tradition with each other. Jeff Chen from Alaska Public Media has more.
The 2021 World Eskimo Indian Olympics, or WIO for short, felt nostalgic for many who attended in Fairbanks, Alaska. Due to the pandemic, last year's event was canceled, and this year, WIO celebrated its 60th anniversary at a smaller and homier venue. Ezra Elisoff, age 17, is Tlingit and lives in Juneau.
I just keep telling myself it's just another competition, but on the inside I'm really ecstatic.
He won third place for the 2-foot high kick and also finished top three in other events. The games played at WIO are a test of the body and spirit, a way to teach preparedness needed for survival in northern communities.
It's an indigenous sport, and we always think of it as we're fellow hunters trying to help each other. So we always give each other advice because realistically, back when you were hunting with other people, you'd want to help build them up because you don't want them to go home and leave their families hungry.
Many of the events were outside, but in the evenings, events inside the arena with some COVID precautions drew fans from around Alaska and a couple visitors from as far as Italy and India. Asia Sullivan, 24, who is absentee Shawnee, Muscogee Creek of Oklahoma, and Athabascan from Tanana, won first place in the ear pool competition.
Well, ear pool is to signify enduring frostbite. It's definitely a sign of self-strength and perseverance.
She acknowledged having become a stronger person through a tough pandemic, but was surprised to beat a longtime mentor.
It's super cool to be able to just, you know, compete with someone who's just been there a longer journey for so long. And we're just here to keep our traditions going and pass them down to our young ones and stuff. And it's great. It's super great.
For National Native News in Fairbanks, I'm Jeff Chen.
A federal judge denied a motion by environmental groups to stop digging at the proposed Thacker Pass lithium mine located in Humboldt County, Nevada. The same judge, though, granted a motion to allow two tribes to join the lawsuit. Environmental groups, Native American tribes, and rural communities surrounding the mine have kept a close eye on the project. U.S. District Court Judge Miranda Dew wrote that four environmental groups did not meet the threshold to warrant an injunction. The group said the digging could harm Lahontan cutthroat trout in the area and harm area springs, meadows, and the water table. In a separate motion, the Reno Sparks Indian Colony and the Fort McDermitt Paiute and Shoshone Tribe are asking the court to intervene in the case, alleging violations of the National Historic Preservation Act. The judge ruled that the Native American tribes could join the lawsuit to block the mine, and it shouldn't affect the case's timeline. Oklahoma's governor named a Tulsa attorney as the state's new attorney general amid legal battles with the federal government and Native American tribes over criminal and civil jurisdictions on tribal lands. Oklahoma Governor Kevin Stitt announced in a statement that John O'Connor was, quote, the right leader for the moment, end quote. The former Oklahoma Attorney General Mike Hunter resigned in May. O'Connor will serve the remainder of Hunter's term through January 2023. Idaho is asking a federal judge to throw out a lawsuit by the Northwestern Band of the Shoshone Nation over hunting and fishing rights. The tribe is suing the state, its Department of Fish and Game, and the Idaho governor. The lawsuit argues that the 1868 Treaty of Fort Bridger, quote, guaranteed the Shoshone people the right to hunt on unoccupied land, end quote. In the state's motion to dismiss, Idaho argues that the treaty protects the off-reservation rights of the eastern band of the Shoshone tribe and the Shoshone-Bannock tribes, but not the northwestern band. For National Native News, I'm Tripp Krause.
National Native News is produced by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
This reminder to get your COVID-19 vaccination is provided by the Association of American Indian Physicians and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, who support this show. Info at aaip.org or cdc.gov/coronavirus. Support by the Sanosky Chambers Law Firm, championing tribal sovereignty and defending Native American rights since 1976, with offices in Washington, D.C., New Mexico, California, and Alaska.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The U.S. Postal Service just released the Raven Story Forever stamp. The stamp was designed by Tlingit and Athabascan artist Rico Worrell. It's the first for an Alaska Native artist. The stamp depicts one of many stories about Raven, a figure of significance among many tribes. Telling stories and celebrating indigenous culture is a big part of the work Worrell does. Along with his sister Crystal, they run Trickster Company, featuring t-shirts, cards, prints, and much more. And he's not only just an artist, Worrell has an academic background in anthropology and does a lot of things. He's our August Native in the Spotlight. We'll spend the hour chatting with him, and we invite you to join in. Give us a call. Our number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And joining us from Juneau, Alaska, is Rico Worrell. Welcome to Native America Calling.
Thank you. Hi.
Well, why don't you go ahead and start us off by introducing yourself to our audience?
Yeah. Shana yukatosak, chukakari katsuti, achish hashangukedi, jiskatbach. My name is Rico Sanat Worrell. I am Tlingit and Athabascan and from Southeast Alaska, and I'm a social designer.
And tell us a little bit about how this stamp came about. There was a ceremony that was held Friday in Alaska. There was representatives from different tribes in Southeast Alaska and also the U.S. Postal Service. And from what I understand, the story is one of the workers had seen your work in Washington, D.C., and then it kind of got the ball rolling from there. Share a little bit about how the stamp came together.
Yeah, it was kind of a kind of surprising thing when I got a call in, it was a few years ago now, it was a bit delayed because of COVID, but in 2018 I got a call, and this guy was telling me he worked for the post office and had discovered our work at the National Museum of American Indian in D.C. in the gift shop. We had a few things there, and I guess he was drawn to the feel of like that mix of traditional and modern that we're trying to infuse into our work, and it kind of went from there.
And for people who are may not be so familiar with the design and the designs you create, explain a little bit about that process and maybe even what the design of the Raven stamp looks like.
So the design style I use is founded in something called Formline, which is a design style that's been developed over the Pacific Northwest coast for the last few thousand years. And I think most people have at least seen it if they've not heard the name of Formline. The stamp I chose to do Raven. So on the stamp, it's got you can kind of see Raven's beak reaching out one direction and his feathers going another direction. There's Raven's actually supposed to be mid-transformation as Raven is a trickster character. There's a hand on the bottom, which kind of indicates the fact that he's not entirely in his Raven form, but not entirely in a human form. And then there's stars all around the stamp.
And of course, Raven is a key figure in a lot of tribes across the country. What does it mean for Southeast Alaska Native people, especially with the Tlingit people?
Raven's a trickster character. He's not necessarily like a creator, but he definitely was like around during a lot of the things that kind of influence the shape of the world as we see it now.
And so you chose the Raven to represent kind of the story of the stars with him. And on Friday, there was a storyteller who shared a longer version of a Raven story and how the Tlingit people came about. And talk a little bit about that story.
Yeah. So I chose a story called The Box of Daylights. To give you a super abbreviated version, it's essentially Raven was in the world, and the world was all dark at that time. And he was kind of wandering around. He ended up running into some beings out there. And they were out fishing, and he asked for some food, and they just gave him a piece of wood. And he was like, "Well, you don't have anything a little better than this?" And they said, "No, it's a little dark. Why don't you like get us some daylight?" And he said, "Okay." And he had heard about this family, this clan leader who had these three boxes of treasure, which were the sun, the moon, and the stars. And so he ends up kind of transforming himself into a pine needle and making his way into a cup of water that the clan leader's daughter was drinking, and she ended up giving birth to baby Raven in a human form. And this is how he kind of infiltrated the household. And throughout the story, he ends up asking to play with the box of stars, and it's his grandfather's treasure, so he keeps saying no, but the grandfather can't say no to his beloved grandchild over and over, and he can't stand to see his beloved grandchild sad. So he eventually gives in and lets Raven play with it and with the box of stars, and Raven ends up letting them out into the universe, and he gets in trouble. He does it again with the moon, and then eventually he does it again with the sun. And by the end of the story, this is how the sun, the moon, and the stars have been taken from this clan leader's home and brought into the universe as we see them today.
And that's definitely such a great story. And the longer version, I think, that the storyteller had shared was about 16-20 minutes, which, you know, was really great, and also uses humor. And today we're talking about our native in the spotlight, Rico Worrell. Have you seen the new stamp that just was released? There was a ceremony last week in Alaska with the U.S. Postal Service, and a lot of excitement, and kudos to you, Rico, and also to Alaska Native artists out there. Our number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Give us a call. What do you think? Have you seen it? Are you an inspiring artist? Maybe you have some questions for Rico. Give us a call. Again, you're listening to Native America Calling. Our number is 1-800-996-2848. And Rico, listening to your story, I was thinking about how much, you know, media we have today, and how much storytelling often now today features, you know, videos or movies or something that people can watch. And here we are on the radio talking and telling stories and sharing. How important is that, especially in tribal culture today, that we still use this form of storytelling?
Storytelling is incredibly important. I think it's a way that we kind of share our values and pass our values from one generation to the next. Part of the reason I chose the this Raven story for this stamp is because I think it's a kind of foundational story for understanding Shlinget's epistemology and understanding and worldview. And so if you get a chance to hear the story, you know, I definitely encourage people to try and find a storyteller in their area. That's like the number one way to like get to hear the story. The other ways is, you know, you can, it is posted on my website as well. And I think Sealaska Heritage Institute's website. But with this story, I think it's a good example because there's kind of multiple levels of lessons being taught. And, it could be about a grandfather's, you know, grandparents' love for their grandchildren. It could be about sharing with the world. It could be about the balance that we hold between the eagle and the raven halves of Shlinget society and the maintenance of that balance. And so I think that when you have like oral storytelling, the storyteller really has the power to kind of infuse the story with a lesson that may be needed in that moment for those listeners in that moment, in a live way that can't be matched in any other way.
And that's definitely piques people's interest, especially when they're telling and sharing stories and adding that humor, because Native people, Indigenous people all around the country and around the world are funny, and humor is part of our lives and also part of that storytelling aspect of using humor. And, you know, even if it is a serious lesson, that humor is still used in whether it's talking about this story or other stories. Share a little bit about how humor interacts in storytelling.
Yeah. I think that it really kind of helps the listeners, you know, either one, it could help them re-engage, or it could help bring about an opportunity to talk about like sensitive subjects or painful subjects in a way that doesn't make us just hurt, but allows us to kind of feel like empowered in a challenging situation. I'm not much of a storyteller myself, so I haven't, you know, practiced it as much, but I definitely appreciated the storytelling that I've been hearing over the last couple of weeks.
For sure. And today we are talking with Rico Worrell, our Native in the Spotlight for the month of August. And we're talking a little bit about his artwork, and we'll get into some of the stuff he does with his company. But we're also talking about the stamp that the U.S. Postal Service just released with Story of the Raven. You're listening to Native America Calling. Give us a call at 1-800-996-2848. We'll be right back. New Mexico, Minnesota, and Montana are three states where work is being done to develop meaningful ways to address missing and murdered Indigenous women and relatives. We'll hear about some of the promising ideas to solve old cases and keep awareness of the issue in front of the public. That's on the next Native America Calling.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, Strong Hearts Native Helpline is a no-charge, 24/7, confidential and anonymous domestic, dating, and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the Chat Now icon on StrongHeartsHelpline.org. This program is supported by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
You're listening to Native America Calling. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. We're talking with Tlingit and Athabascan artist Rico Worrell today. He's our August Native in the Spotlight here on Native America Calling. We're talking about his stamp that he designed for the U.S. Postal Service, which just got released. And we're sharing some stories too. Maybe you have a story about the Raven that you think is really great in your community and you're just really connecting to our show today. Give us a call, join the conversation. Our number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And I'd like to welcome back our guest, Rico Worl. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, hi.
And before the break, we were talking about storytelling a little bit. Let's talk a little bit more about your art. How did you get started in art? We mentioned in the beginning of the show that that you went to school and got an anthropology degree. Is that right?
Yeah, I got my undergraduate in anthropology from University of Pennsylvania. I think art and I think creativity is integral to any of our native cultures. So growing up in the culture, there's always some form of like creativity, whether it's making things out of necessity for tools and whatnot, or kind of like embellishing regalia or repairing regalia, and so I think being indigenous is inherently a creative lifestyle, and so I never really kind of considered myself an artist for a really long time because I was like, oh, I'm just doing things so I could represent, you know, which is a kind of a primary blanket thing to do, is to represent. I always just made stuff, and then eventually I painted my own longboard when I returned from college, and kind of the idea was I just wanted to, longboarding was a hobby at the time, and I wanted to just represent in a day-to-day hobby that I was involved in, not necessarily have to just represent it when I'm in a major event or a ceremony where I'm wearing my regalia, but something day-to-day. And I ended up making one for my cousin and then his cousin, and it was just kind of a people were drawn to that idea of being able to, you know, Native people were drawn to the idea of they wanted to be able to represent that same kind of way. And that's sort of when I got more drawn into the making stuff on more of a day-to-day basis, and sort of started to shift towards that economy of creativity versus just kind of living with it.
And it is interesting that you started on a longboard and also clothing and the playing cards, and even I've seen the basketball and different items that people may not necessarily think of when they think of art. Maybe people might think of something being on a wall or something you're wearing as in jewelry or something like that. So how was that process of, you know, putting your designs on something that is maybe, you know, a little out of the box, I guess?
For me, it's really, I want people to be able to celebrate indigeneity with ease, you know. So I've always just kind of chosen things that have kind of engaged me, whether through my day-to-day life, such as like having clothing with, you know, Star Wars form line design art on it, or the longboard, or things that engage my community, such as I think all over Native America, basketball is pretty popular. So I was like, we have a big tournament here every spring, and so I wanted to create a basketball with our artwork on it, so we can continuously be able to celebrate and engage with indigeneity. I think it's a nice kind of gateway, and for non-natives too. I create products that kind of allow them to learn or appreciate Native art without having to feel like they're appropriating it by having something that's a little bit more sacred than is necessary for a person not in the culture to have.
And that's a great way to explain it, is celebrating Native people, celebrating Indigenous people, and also being able to share your talents and having people recognize that and being able to own something that maybe is not necessarily from their part of the country, but to celebrate the Pacific Northwest design. And today we are talking with Rico Worrell here on Native America Calling. He's our August Native in the Spotlight, and we want to hear from you. Rico wants to hear from you, so give us a call. Maybe you have a question. Maybe you've seen the stamp that just was released. Our number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Or maybe you want to leave some messages for Rico on our social media pages. Follow us on Facebook at Native America Calling, or you can always email us at comments@nativeamericacalling.com. And let's talk a little bit about your company, because people who are listening to the show today, maybe they're getting excited and they want to check out what's available. Tell us about your company.
Yeah, I run a little design shop, Trickster Company. And it's the goal is, we always say we're promoting innovative Indigenous design. And so it's really kind of about like we were saying earlier, kind of engaging everyday kind of places with and infusing them with Indigenous kind of with Indigenous artwork. We do everything from basketballs, skateboards, clothing, leggings were really popular for a while, jewelry, art prints. So we're kind of all over the place.
And that's also, you work with your sister, Crystal Worrell, is that right?
Yeah, my sister and I kind of founded the company almost about 10 years ago now, maybe a little over 10 years ago. And then it really is a family business, though. So, I have other family members who help out. My dad is better with finances, so he helps me with that. And my stepmom, Dawn, helps run the wholesale side of the business.
And we reached out to Crystal today, and she was unavailable today. But is her work similar to yours?
Yeah, it's similar in the sense that we both do form line and sort of like the basis of the work that we do. She's a little bit more of a painter and a muralist, where I'm more of a digital artist and sometimes a jeweler.
So does the artist, does that run in your family, or are there a lot of people in your family that do some sort of artwork?
I think so, yeah. There's a lot of creatives. My Aunt Celeste in Santa Fe, she's a painter, and my family's always had creative projects all around. My mom's a photographer.
Oh, okay, great. And is there contact information where people can find out about the Trickster Company if they're interested?
Yep, it's just if you just look up Trickster Company, you can go to trickstercompany.com.
And today we're talking with Rico Worrell. Give us a call, 1-800-99-NATIVE. That's also 1-800-996-2848. And the phone lines are open. We're waiting for some calls. So give us a call and come join the discussion with Rico, our Native Spotlight, our Native in the Spotlight here on Native America Calling. And you had mentioned a little bit earlier about the public being able to enjoy and celebrate the artwork without appropriation. And that's definitely a huge arena when we talk about Native arts. And you know, now that it's tourist season and tourists are starting to travel again, what are your thoughts on, when people are looking for authentic Native art, especially in Alaska? What are your thoughts on that?
I think the best way to do it is to engage with Native people. So whether it's, if you don't have connections, you can go to, there's Native-run cultural centers such as Sea Alaska Heritage or the Alaska Native Heritage Center in Anchorage. It's the least risky way of ending up supporting appropriation or knockoff Native art, because then you could know for sure that what you're engaged in is a cultural exchange versus cultural appropriation. A Native person that is going to make something and be willing to share that with you, sell it to you, will create products that are appropriate for you, whoever the buyer is, to use.
And that's definitely important when we look at Native art and appropriation and having artists, celebrate and being able to share art that people are interested in, because there have been a lot of appropriation and tourists maybe even might not recognize that it's a knockoff of Native artwork or anything like that. And part of what I've read is that it's part of your goals is to help enrich Indigenous people and talk about some of the ways that you would suggest artists or help encourage other artists out there.
Yeah, I like you had mentioned earlier, I got my undergraduate in anthropology, and so when I came home, I was working for kind of the nonprofit aspect of my tribe and working on a little bit for a while. I did kind of repatriation work, NAGPRA work, and then I eventually kind of moved into developing an arts department. And so I got a lot of insight into the Native arts community in Southeast Alaska, and that kind of inspired me to kind of take on the Trickster Company project for myself.
And can you share a little bit more about some of your work? I know we talked a little bit about the form line and some of the items that you make, but also developing skills in sculpture and computer 3D design. What is that? Share about that. We've seen a lot of technology being introduced in the way artists are now creating work. So tell us your process and how you've been learning that.
Yeah. I've always been drawn to new technology and science and science fiction as well. Like I mentioned, I grew up watching Star Wars and Star Trek all the time, and so I've always been like, all right, I want to be on the cutting edge of all this tech stuff. I want to learn what's new, and having had that mentality, it's always kind of been useful to these skills that I picked up. So when I was in high school, I taught myself how to make a lot of digital art. So that's where I started with Flash, which is like this animation program. But it kind of taught me about vector art, which is a specific computer-designed 2D artwork that kind of paid off today, because a lot of manufacturers require vector art, or being able to manipulate art through vector work kind of helps smooth that process between having a product idea and creating a product. And so that was in the Adobe, though. So that's Adobe Illustrator. So a lot of that's kind of two-dimensional artwork. And so most recently, I've been teaching myself 3D artwork on the computer, which is a whole nother level that I haven't been able to like make the time to learn yet. But I use a couple of different programs, from Fusion 360 to ZBrush, and some of these programs are designed for either engineering or industrial design, and so they're very technical. And then there's a few of them that are designed specifically for more kind of sculptural work, and I kind of jump around between all of them to learn about what they all offer. Yeah,
that sounds really neat, and I can't wait to see some of the things that you're working on, and I'm sure It's going to be, what are some of your goals to, is this something you want to keep pursuing and start selling in your company, or how do you envision the future with that?
Yeah, I think it's, right now it's pretty wide open, you know, like the 2DR opened up so many opportunities from playing cards to basketball. I feel like the same thing is going to happen with the sculptural side. I do a lot of, right now, a lot of pieces that I do in CAD are jewelry work. So I'll have them 3D print molds and make them into jewelry. But I want to expand into other things. I think one market that's always like had a lot of kind of knockoff work was like modeled totem poles. You know, they just, they don't work. There's not too many places. Maybe there's one other place in Alaska that works with actual native artists to make modeled totem poles to sell to tourists at kind of a tourist market price versus a fine arts price. I do work in both kind of worlds there. So, you know, it'll be fun to try and make some 3D model totem poles and see what kind of, you know, whether it's CNC carving or some kind of casting. I don't know yet. And I think that there's going to be kind of endless ideas to be able to explore with it.
Well, we look forward to seeing what kind of work comes out that with the sculpture and the computer-aided 3D design. It sounds really exciting. Today we're talking with Rico Worrell. He is our Native in the Spotlight here on Native America Calling, and we're waiting to hear from you. Give us a call. The phone lines are open. It's 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And we've talked a little bit about the stamp, the Raven story that was just released by the U.S. Postal Service. Rico has shared some thoughts about his company and about his work, and kind of sharing and motivating, I think, for artists out there to see that, you know, that this is happening for somebody. And we want to hear from you. Give us a call. We got to take a short break, but the phone lines are open, 1-800-996-2848.
Smoking gave me COPD, which makes it harder and harder for me to breathe. I have a tip for you. If your doctor gives you 5 years to live, spend it talking with your grandchildren. Explain to them that your grandpa's not going to be around anymore to share his wisdom and his love. I haven't figured out how to do that yet. I'm running out of time.
COPD makes it harder and harder to breathe and can cause death. You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Thank you for tuning in to Native America Calling. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. We're talking with Rico Worrell today. He's a designer and a co-owner of the Trickster Company based in Alaska. What are your thoughts about local designers in your community? Maybe there's somebody who you are recognizing a similar story that's mirroring what you heard today. Maybe you've seen the new stamp that came out that just got released. Maybe you have some questions for Rico. Give us a call. Our phone lines are open. It's 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And I would like to welcome back our guest, Rico Worrell. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
And before the break, we were talking a little bit about the future and some of the art that you're looking to make, and hopefully get a handle on some of that sculpture and 3D printing. That sounds really great. We also talked about the stamp that has just been released. Do you have the stamp? Do you have a special booklet? Did they give you like the very first one that came right off of the press?
They didn't give me the first one, but they did give me like this kind of nice commemorative framed like print of the art, and it's got a little bit of a couple of actual stamps on the bottom and a little plaque. So it was, I think they gave one to each of the presenters at the stamp ceremony.
Awesome. And so is it just one stamp with the Raven design that you were telling us about, or are there multiple different stamps in the booklet?
Right. It's just one sheet with the same stamp, 20 of them on there, 20 little ravens.
Awesome. And what is some of the feedback that you've either been hearing from people or that you've seen online, or any kind of celebration or celebratory, you know, comments that you've received from people that are just so excited? Because I know in Indian country, we get so excited when there's an athlete or there's, you know, we like to celebrate people and their work and their accomplishments and achievements. Go ahead, Rico.
There's been a lot of excitement about it, you know, both from people up in my region and nationwide. I've been it's the stories have been shared on all kinds of platforms, from, like, you know, you guys today. I was on NPR and Forbes and Indian Country Today. It's been really exciting. I think the compliment that, like, really kind of, like, struck me in my heart, though, was during the ceremony, Marlene Johnson was kind of talking about blanket art and how we always do this, like, monumental art. We do house fronts, we do totem poles, we do these canoes, all these big pieces of art. And she said, and here's, you know, here's Rico having to represent our culture on this little thing that's less than an inch wide on the biggest side. So it's an honor to be able to be recognized for doing that representation.
For sure, and especially from, you know, someone who you admire and look up to, and hearing from older generations. Talk a little bit about the youth, and do you think that this kind of artwork and the stuff you do attracts younger generations compared maybe to more of the traditional arts that are out there?
I think so. I hope so. I think making a broad range of products, you know, reaches out to as many people as possible, and we do a number of products that I do think youth engage with more, such as the skateboards and the basketballs. I always like to think about the idea in this one, kind of like a, it's sort of like a intra-community strength development. So, like, you know, creating items that that kind of strengthen ourselves, and, you know, so maybe a youth, you know, has a basketball or a skateboard, and maybe it's a gateway for learning more about the culture, or maybe it's a gateway for, you know, talking with their parents about why it's important to represent, or why it feels empowering or good to represent in the wider community.
Definitely. And also with your work, and definitely with the stamp, it's giving visibility to artists. Why is that important? How do you see that as something that other people, you know, who are out there working hard and trying to get a visibility for their arts?
Yeah, I think, you know, before the pandemic, I actually had a brick and mortar shop here in downtown Juneau, and so I'd meet a lot of tourists from all over the world. And, you know, it's as old as this concept is, it's not one that's gone away yet, the idea of the vanishing Indian. A lot of people don't realize that we're here today, we're modern people, we're engaged with the world today, and a lot of our creatives are engaged in the world today in traditional and modern ways. And so I think, you know, with the stamp too, especially with it going on a national platform, I wanted people to kind of, like, kick in and realize that there's modern Native people all over this country, and maybe they should think about that in their own communities too. You know, whose land are they on, and who are the artists in that community that they can support locally?
And that's just a great way to put it, is just giving that visibility out there about Indigenous people. And that's a struggle that maybe some artists are out there working with. And maybe their art is similar, where they're connecting people with, you know, living cultures, with Native people across the country, and not just, you know, with these tourist things or knockoffs or anything like that, but really showing and celebrating Indigenous people and culture and history as well. And you still have time to jump on the phone lines, grab your cell phone, or maybe you even have a landline. Give us a call, 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. There's still some time. We're speaking with Rico World today, our August Native in the Spotlight here at Native America Calling. And Rico, I was wondering, thinking about the stamp, is that available now to the public? I know that the ceremony was last week to reveal the stamp and celebrate and have the ceremony and celebrate it with the release ceremony. Where can people find the stamp at?
Yeah, the stamp is available as of last Friday. You can either get it at USPS.com or you can go to your local post office.
Great. And I'm looking forward to seeing that. And it is interesting because we still get mail. There's still postal service. I know there's a lot of communication that's digital. We have email and here we are on the radio talking, but there's nothing like getting a birthday card in the mail or something. And maybe that, you know, that's something that you look forward to, and you're going to get a stamp, and hopefully it's one of Rico's forever stamps. How do you think that your art, especially with the stamp, how do you see it existing in the tourism world? I know we touched on that a little bit, but especially when you go to these places like here in New Mexico, you know, it attracts people who want to learn about the tribes and see stuff. And there in Alaska, you know, people are wanting to learn about Alaska Native culture.
Yeah, it's difficult because, you know, you can approach it from two directions, which is, you know, one is like we need better education for visitors, tourists, you know, so that they know what to look for and they know when they're looking at something that's not an authentic piece. And so that's like education, and then there's some need for enforcement. You know, some shops don't really, they kind of, you know, they're sneaky about it. They know that it's illegal to misrepresent the art as being Indigenous, but they also, you know, there's ways to like just kind of let that happen, also let that misunderstanding happen without it being an active thing they do. So there's some need for greater enforcement of the Indian Arts and Crafts Act, I think, kind of protects that. And then, you know, what I'm kind of exploring with my role is the idea that, you know, also how do we reach out to these places? So in, I don't remember, that was a while ago. I want to say 8 or 9 years ago, I designed a deck of playing cards and I got them funded through Kickstarter. And, you know, the concept with that one was, okay, maybe I can't convince every tourist to buy, you know, a handmade Native piece of art. Maybe I can kind of work my way into their market also. And I think a deck of playing cards is something that's small and inexpensive that, you know, a tourist may just buy for a grandchild or a nephew or a niece. And so exploring the other end of making it accessible to the tourism markets, and hopefully some of those stores that would give money to these knockoff companies are now supporting more, a little bit more of a authentic Native artist industry. I don't know if I would say there's, you know, if I have any solutions, but like, I definitely am trying to do my, you know, one small part with my presence.
Well, and that definitely sounds like actually a big step in the right direction. And let's head over and squeeze in a caller. We have Dina from Anchorage, Alaska, listening to us on KNBA. Hi, Dina.
Hey, how are you doing?
We're doing good.
I just wanted to let you know, Rico, that every week I go to the post office looking for your stamps, and the postman there says, yeah, four or five people a day have been asking for your stamps. And so today the post office opens in about 7 minutes, and I bet he's going to shake his head no over me because I bet he's going to be sold out by the time I get there.
Well, that's awesome. Thank you, Dina. Go ahead, Rico, your words.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. It was kind of confusing because they announced the stamp in November, but they didn't announce when they would be available. So they kind of like kept people on their toes about that.
Well, there you go. The stamp is popular in Anchorage. If you get one, we're rooting for you, Dina. And also, thanks for calling us today. And let's see if we can fit in one more caller, Paul from Minneapolis, Minnesota. Hi, Paul.
Hello, Antonia, and hello, Rico. I wanted to say that we can get the stamp. I got the stamp yesterday here in Shakopee, Minnesota. It's good to hear your voice and your presence on Native American Calling, Antonia. Rico, as you know, we had an 8.2 earthquake in the Aleutian Islands just the other day. The Creator is putting a focus on South and Southeast Alaska. And I wanted to say that recently, dear President Biden extended protections for the Tongass temperate rainforest. That's the home of the raven. With a legacy of clear cutting, let's hope that the raven's home is protected in perpetuity. The Lummi Nation just arrived at the National Museum of the American Indian in Washington, D.C. Totem is appearing at the museum. And if you haven't seen the totem, at the top is Grandmother Moon. Halfway down is the presence of the eagle, which is Raven's brother. And at the bottom is a carving of a migrant child in jail. We need to free 22,000 migrant children in U.S. custody. The Creator does not want them there.
Well, thank you so much, Paul, for your call today, and I hope to see that totem in person someday. Paul calling us from Minneapolis, Minnesota. We're coming to the end of our hour. Rico, any words or any response to what Paul had to say?
Ganeshish, thank you for your words and for your prayers. Definitely excited about that totem pole making its presence known over on the East Coast as well.
And any thoughts you want to share as we're wrapping up our time here? Rico Worrell, our Native in the Spotlight for the month of August here on Native America Calling. And we've been celebrating your artwork, your company, and also looking to the future to see what's next for you, Rico.
I can't think of anything. You know, it's a huge honor to be able to represent, and thank you to everyone who's supported me over the years.
And that'll have it for you today. Our Native in the Spotlight, Rico Worrell, joined us today, and we had some great callers call in today. We have a whole week ahead of us here on Native America Calling, and look out for the stamps. We had a caller in Anchorage saying that she's on the lookout and going to the post office every day. So that's encouraging words for you, Rico, how popular your stamp is. And you're listening to Native America Calling, and we're going to be back tomorrow. We're going to talk about missing and murdered Indigenous women and relatives. That's tireless work by tribes across the country, advocates, families, and we're going to provide some updates. There's some work being done here in New Mexico and in Minnesota and across the country, so we're going to take a look at that topic and give you an update on missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls. Big thanks to Rico Worrell, our native in the spotlight, and also the folks back at the studio keeping us connected. I am Antonia Gonzalez. Tune in tomorrow.
Looking to get your high school diploma? Southwestern Indian Polytechnic Institute offers Native Americans ages 18 or older training and preparation courses for the high school equivalency diplomas in person and online beginning September 6th. This no-charge program includes testing fees and other resources will be available to help with supplies and living expenses. Space is limited. Application deadline is August 6th. More by calling 505-382-4287 or at sipi.edu who support this show.
Au lukaan mikelnguk atoruk kainak aknirtailkut pikanqartsku talimut suutinqartluuku paqasgu insurekidsnow.gov walluqayaagaarulku 1877 kids now unakkingunnqartuq ukuunuk centers for medicare and medicaid services
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service. Music is by Brent Michael Davis. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.